You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 23 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're chatting with Nick Kuntz, downgrades in South Africa, and GDP perhaps going negative in the US for quarter one 2021. Tiger Brands results, changing shopping trends under lockdown and shrinking margins. And then Keith McLachlan, looking for value in small caps. We've seen some stocks pop on news, but what do we look for to get into them before that pop? Friday's poll, we asked you if you are moving more money offshore. 49% of you, always. 35% when ZAR is strong, and 16% NAT local is lacquer. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the US, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: SA descends deeper into junk after two downgrades. It goes without saying, but the deeper we go, the longer it takes to get out. The quick dip and quick exit, which may have been on the table, is now, I think, officially well off the table. We'll discuss that more with Nick in a moment. And then Business Day, Sasol gets slap from unhappy investors. 56% of the AGM voted against the implementation report that paid about $100 million to the two former CEOs, of which $35 million was mutual separation. This, of course, a non-binding vote. Morning markets, the US red, S&P off 0.7, NASDAQ down 0.4. Asia, Sydney's up 0.5%. Tokyo closed for Labor Thanksgiving Day. They'll be back trading tomorrow. Commodities green, gold 18.72, Rand 15.36. And top 40 opening call looking for green open, about 0.4% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, our portfolio manager at Sunlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning, appreciate your time. After market close on Friday, we got two more downgrades, Moody's and Fitch. I don't suppose that was a surprise really to anyone, and therefore perhaps neutral on our markets for this week.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, the markets are, I mean, for the layman watching these sort of headlines, I guess they're a little bit surprised walking in this morning and seeing the rand actually 0.25% firmer against the dollar. But, you know, it's a classic one of those cases, I think, you know, pretty much in the price. We saw the banking shares last week suffering a bit of a torrid week on our bourse. I think they're down about 6% over the five trading days. I think you could argue that this downgrade very much in the price. And then also just quickly to add, I mean, if you look at what's happening around the world as well with other countries, what they're borrowing. I mean, I saw some numbers out the weekend, FT, with what the UK government is borrowing. I mean, staggering over 100% of GDP now. So I guess against that backdrop, I mean, it's, you know, we pretty much the same as everyone else, maybe just the worst of the bunch, but everyone is borrowing up to the hilt, and I think that's been reflected.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It is, as you say. I mean, 100% debt to GDP is now suddenly almost the new normal.
Banking, yeah, frightening.
Yeah, banking stocks, you know, typically you would expect, I mean, they will now get downgraded further as well because a bank can't have a better rating than its sovereign. 2 weeks ago we had the vaccine news. Banks went absolutely crazy. I'm having a peek at that chart of the Fini 15, and it looks like it's coming back down into that sort of range back around the 10,000 level.
Yeah, it's been a real, I mean, yeah, especially in the financial sectors, we've had the poppy markets, but that the financials have been where it's, as you said, in the last couple of weeks. We had that one, I think the first news broke with Pfizer that Monday. I mean, I'm losing track here, but yeah, what is that, 2 Mondays ago, and we had a huge pop-up, and you know, some of our banking shares up almost 40% over that 5 days. Now we're sort of stepping back down 6-7%. I think it's, for me, it's a little bit premature to dive back into the banks. Yes, they are beaten down, and they're significantly below where they were pre-COVID. But South Africa's got its own problems on the ground floor, not just COVID. I think people forget that we were effectively in a recession pre-COVID before we got that the other knock in the last sort of 9 months. So I don't know. I think these banking shares are a little bit early to jump back in, and I'm with you. I think they might grind a little bit lower in the next few weeks anyway.
Turning to the U.S., two popped up over the weekend. Goldman Sachs downgrading there. We're talking Q1 GDP for the U.S. They'd expected 3.5%. They've dropped that to 1%. J.P. Morgan actually saying a negative reading for Q1 GDP in the U.S. To your earlier point around our banks, I mean, globally, we're not out of this yet. We're seeing cases surging. We're seeing lockdowns returning. Sure, there's a vaccine, but between now and that vaccine, there's a lot of road to travel. And it's going to be bumpy.
There's a lot of road to travel. I mean, it's fascinating for me that investors are just willing to sort of look on this vaccine further down the road, coming, I think, sort of sooner than we think. Mm-hmm. But with the vaccine with the sort of virus escalating, certainly in the US and in Europe, heading into Christmas time, one side you've got that escalating case numbers. And you've also got, on the other side, you've got the substantial support from central banks, which the market seems to, I think, be leaning on. But, going once again on these banks, financials tend to lead markets higher and they tend to lead markets lower. They're quite a good sort of leading indicator. And given what these banks are doing, given what they've done in the States and given what we're doing as well, I don't know if it's just too early to dive back into the market now. But there's going to be this tug of war between the positive vaccine news and the lockdowns we're seeing abroad. And I guess you've got to really sort of look through, but I find myself squinting more than anything else to see the good news on the other side.
No, I take your point there. I mean, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We're pretty sure it's not a train, but it is still a long and a dark tunnel. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. Appreciate your early morning, sir.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Tiger Brand CEO Noel Doyle. It was results to year in September. Revenue up 4% to 29.8 billion. HEPS declined a little to just under 12 rand a share. Dividend 6.70 rand. They have disposed of their value added meat product business. That, of course, had been announced already. That is now concluded. Noel, morning. Appreciate your time. A period of two halves, of course. The second half was the lockdown period. How much has the pandemic, the lockdown, impacted operations, impacted costs for Tiger Brands?
So, good morning, Simon. In the second half of the year, we reckon that if you take direct and indirect costs, and they're split about evenly, it probably cost in the region of 450 million rands. And that's made up of the direct costs would be made up of the cost of compliance, the cost of closure of our facilities, and those costs specifically attributable to COVID-related changes in an operating model. The other half really relates to some price restraint that we showed, particularly in the initial lockdown period, and then the cost of compliance with the pricing regulations that were introduced ahead of the lockdown period. So overall, it had a significant impact in the second half, and that's why we're reasonably, relieved that the second half did not follow the trend of the first half. And on top of that, those COVID costs. So the business seemed to cope with it reasonably well.
Yeah, I mean, 450 million, that's a chunky number. I mean, sure, your revenue's just shy of 30 billion. But in a business such as yours, where margins are good, but that's a slice off your margins. I mean, certainly they were coming under pressure. Are you expecting in the financial year ahead? I mean, the COVID costs are still there. Margins still going to be hurting?
I think we expect that as we go forward with the efficiencies that we're starting to take out of the organization, that we can at least maintain the margins, get some volume growth, and hopefully reverse that trend of declining operating profitability. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's difficult to look sort of into the medium term or even beyond Christmas, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
We've had a reasonable start to the year so far, but it's very early days. We are concerned about the state of the consumer, so sort of post-Christmas, there may be a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, a psychologically induced splurge over Christmas, and then an even harsher reality kicks in the new year. So we're preparing for that. But we do have some businesses where we had particularly poor results this year for specific reasons not directly linked to consumer behavior, and hopefully those will help us with a little bit of tailwind in the first half of next year.
I want to delve into that consumer behavior. I mean, certainly from your I suppose colleagues, the retail sector have been talking around changing shopping habits, less visits, larger baskets. Yes. Are you seeing in your product ranges changes in consumer behavior? Perhaps almost, I don't want to say, stockpiling, but if you go less often, you might buy more ginger biscuits when you do, or perhaps you're actually just generally buying less overall.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that consumers are necessarily buying less overall, but you really have to be very sharp from a promotional perspective, from a pack size perspective, to capture, that shop when it takes place. So, mm-hmm. If you take, for example, something like our snacks and treats business, so particularly in the early stages of the lockdown period, when there were a lot less of those impulse purchase occasions, we had to try and move towards larger pack sizes so that when somebody went in the supermarket, they were buying multi-packs rather than than singles, as you would do every day, say, stopping at a garage on your way to or from work. So we're having to be very alert to that. But that was, we saw that exaggerated in the initial lockdown period, and now we're starting to see a return to something more similar to what we saw before. But what we are seeing is that people who've got comfortable with e-commerce are repeating the purchases on e-commerce. And for a business like ours, where people don't want to buy necessarily a case of Kubek beans, what we have to do is work with partners outside of the traditional retailers to see how we can get to a break bulk and satisfy the consumer who's shopping on those channels who doesn't want to make a large purchase of one individual SKU.
Yeah, got you on that. Last question. Yeah. I mean, your grain price, you saw inflation there of 8%. We've seen the maize prices and the like in South Africa. Speaking with Wandile Shaloba last week, he's expecting good rains locally. Is that something which should help and sort of help your business and flow into improved margins?
Maize is a relatively small portion of our business, and I think if you look at the maize price, because it is an export parity price product, a lot will depend on what's happening on the international markets. But certainly, the good rains augur really well for planting, but there's a long way between now and the harvest.
I hear you on that, absolutely. Yeah. Noel Dahl, CEO of Tiger Brands, appreciate your early morning, sir.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore. While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan. He's a fund manager of Asset Management. Keith, morning. Appreciate your time. One of the of many features in our market has been small caps coming out with results, updates, and absolutely popping. Adapt IT, AdCorp, Distell, Centova, and so the list goes on. So I figured, is there, as investors, I mean, these are, in hindsight, we can look at Distell at 100 or, and 100 Rand and think, oh, we missed it. Is there something we can do almost in a sense to try and see it in advance and be in those stocks by the time the announcements come?
Always, Simon. Good morning and good morning to all your listeners. There's one can always do research and find these stocks in any market condition and get into them. Obviously, the risk is you have to make the investment before the news. And on that element, you might be wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's worth looking at the big picture as well within our small cap market. And we pointed out that there's been value there for a while, but our small cap market is actually down by about a third. It peaked about 3 years ago, and it actually on a relative valuation basis peaked about 5 years ago. So we've really been stuck in quite a bearish small cap market for a long time. And that's arrived at a point where the entire market is actually valued below book. And that's obviously talking about the small cap market. Mm-hmm. So, and with stagnant economic growth, et cetera, you've had a lot of struggling companies that have really cut costs, and consolidated operations, focused on cash flows and all the correct things, arguably every company should be doing at any point. So you're sitting in a situation where most of the index is actually filled with the survivors. And that's why we probably should not be surprised when these companies are coming out and as a generalization, but coming out and beating earnings expectations over periods when it's just been the toughest pandemic-driven lockdown one can imagine. Well, they've been operating in a tight condition for 5 years now.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, absolutely. It has, and Nikon said at the top of the show that, you know, we must remember we came into this pandemic in a recession already. I mean, is it then a case of you know, the good old-fashioned quality and at the core of it, almost cash flow? You know, a company such as Distell, such as Syntova, who are, you know, quality management, who do, you know, typically produce good cash, particularly Syntova, and delve into that? Or are there some other nuances that we could perhaps look out for?
So, and that's a good question. I mean, I'd unpack different aspects of it. The first thing is, I don't think you can ever really go wrong focusing on quality, particularly in the small cap, with the small cap factor. You want to, a small cap that is not growing, it will never has zero chance of ever becoming a large cap, and hence you're getting the re-rating unwind that generates probably about half of the return. So, a good filter for quality is obviously growth, because bad companies tend not to grow and good companies tend to, you know, and that's a good kind of benchmark for that. So that's the first aspect, is definitely look at companies that have managed to grow and consistently year on year, but obviously over a lockdown where we've really had a K-shaped recovery. I mean, you have a look at the gaming and the hotel sectors. Doesn't matter how good you are, your revenue is down. You have not grown over this period, and that's not necessarily your fault. So in a short-term perspective, looking only at earnings, you'll miss a lot of things. I do think over this period, one has to analyze balance sheets and cash flow statements before you analyze income statements. So in that element, you want to look at a strongly cash generative business. You want to look at preferably ungeared balance sheet, and probably with more tangible assets. South Africa, we don't have a lot of tech or intangible assets on our balance sheets. So you're looking at things like, you know, and a good example is Roynet. If you're positive on infrastructure spend in South Africa, and the starting bottleneck of that has to be energy, Roynet's well positioned for that. They've got an ungeared balance sheet. Even over this period where their earnings have been decimated, they still haven't actually reported a loss. They've reported a small profit, but the cash flow is in fact stronger than their IFRS earnings. Ticks all those boxes, I said, in terms of quality factor and potentially with a forward perspective on growth.
I like your point of the balance sheet. It's obviously debt. What I can also do is, you know, again, as you say, it's been a tough couple of years. I could go back to, 2017, 18 and 19, the pre-pandemic years, and check their cash flow. And if they were generating good cash and they're in the sort of top leg of the K recovery, not hotels, for example, we can assume that cash is going to come back again into the business.
Certainly. So, and that's the last way of doing it, is you're almost taking earnings from a more normalized period and you're extrapolating them to the future. So the one thing I'd be careful of is obviously some of the cash generated that makes many of these sets of earnings look good is because working capital is unwinding. When growth picks up again, or at least there is a strong recovery, we would expect that working capital to be negative again. But a company that was good is probably still good. And particularly if you're comfortable with the liquidity and solvency profile and management, and you touched on Distell. Distell is a good example of a company that used this period to cut deeply into their fixed cost base. In their case, it's predominantly, don't think of factories and things. It's actually their payroll. They cut quite deeply into that. that's going to create a base effect going forward where the style will now be a more efficient operation, not a less efficient operation.
And it's going to be, this is not just for 2020. Going forward, it'll be a better company. Keith McLachlan, Fund Manager of Asset Management, appreciate your time this morning. A question to you today, are you looking at the SA Inc. space? Are you hunting out those stocks? Is that something that you're interested in, or is it an area that you continue to stay away from? The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Repeated that question from the interview with Keith. Are you looking at value for value in the small cap SA Inc. space, or have you completely shifted offshore and not focused? Because certainly there is some. So curious to know if you are and what's going to stand out for you. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast available just after 7, wherever you find great podcasts. Massive thanks to our team, Eddie Cordora, the social media team. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.